Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight 111 for the January 2017 previews. Now, in this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews that you might find interesting. These episodes have an open submission policy, and everyone is encouraged to send in clips each and every month, or as often as you can, about items that you think other people might enjoy. It's a great way to support the comics you love. Now, there are thousands of items and previews each and every month, and it's really easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. As always, we'll be starting at the beginning of previews and working our way to the back. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights. And again, the highlights are based on listener submissions. So with that, let's get going.
Hey everyone, it's that time of month again, and this is Chris the Brawlinator Brawley, and my first pick for this month's previews is found in the Dark Horse section on page 56. It's also featured on the cover of this month's previews, and it is American Gods Shadows number 1, soon to be an upcoming Starz television series by Neil Gaiman. And here it's being adapted as a comic series with acclaimed writer P. Craig Russell. It's based on Mr. Gaiman's award-winning novel from 2001 of the same name. The solicit reads, "War is coming. Shadow Moon just got out of jail only to discover his wife is dead. Defeated, broke, and uncertain as to where to go from here, he meets the mysterious Mr. Wednesday, who employs him to serve as his bodyguard, thrusting Shadow into a deadly world of the supernatural where ghosts of the past come back from the dead and a brewing war between old and new gods hits a boiling point." The American Gods comic series will feature three story arcs, Shadows, My Angel, and The Moment of the Storm, for a total of 27 issues. The central premise is that gods and mythological creatures exist because people believe in them, a type of thought form. Various cultures, through immigration to the United States, brought these spirits and demigods with them, but the power of these mythological beings has diminished because people's beliefs have begun to wane. Now, new gods have arisen, reflecting America's obsessions with media, celebrity, technology, drugs, and other things. And this should be a very interesting commentary on our culture, a good read, and Gaiman rarely disappoints, and neither does P. Craig Russell. And I am a huge fan of P. Craig Russell ever since I got one of my very first books, oh, so many years ago, that featured Killraven, War of the Worlds. I suggest you check this out. Again, the solicit can be found on page 56 in the Dark Horse section of this month's previews.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Dark Horse on page 66. It is Dead Inside, number 4 of 5. This is written by John Arcudi with Tony Fazula on art, an Andre May cover, and a Dave Johnson variant cover. This comes out on sale March 15th, 32 pages, and is $3.99. We reviewed this on a weekly comic spotlight. I dug it a lot. Thought it was a really cool crime story, and had a unique twist, and a lot of fun in that first issue. So I'm looking forward to the next couple. Didn't realize it was a mini, or maybe I did. You can never tell anymore. So, you know, don't advise you to hop in on issue 4 if you haven't checked anything out, but put it on your radar for when that trade comes out, or if your local comic shop has those back issues. It is definitely worth checking out. It is a pretty darn good book, so check it out again. It is Dead Inside, number 4, on page 66 of the Dark Horse section.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. And my first pick in the January 2017 previews comes in the Dark Horse section on page 70 with Rebels, These Free and Independent States, number 1 of an 8-issue miniseries. Brian Wood, writer, Andrea Muti, artist, Lauren Affey, colorist, and pardon me if I mispronounce that name, and Matthew Taylor, cover. On sale March 22nd, 32 pages for $3.99. In 1775, Seth Abbott fought to win his fellow Americans their independence. In 1794, his savant son, John, comes of age as their new nation faces multiple threats: high seas terrorism, fresh aggression from Britain, and intense political division at home. When Congress authorizes building America's first navy, the famous six frigates, John Abbott signs up. From best-selling writer Brian Wood, The Massive, DMZ, and Northlanders. Also available, Rebels Volume 1, A Well-Regulated Militia. Now, I read this first Rebels miniseries when it first was released in single issues, and I really enjoyed this historical fiction look at the American Revolution. I think my favorite little bit of history it explored was the soldiers' reaction to the phrase, "Don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes." It was a brief moment of some black humor on the battlefield, and it felt like the reaction a soldier at the time probably would have to that historic phrase. The solicitation also has some sample art from this first issue. So if you enjoy historical fiction and the American Revolution in particular, I recommend picking up Rebels, These Free and Independent States, number 1. Back to you, John.
Hey guys, this is Michael with my first pick in this month's previews. It's coming from Dark Horse, and it's on page 70. This is Brian Wood writing and Andrew Moody on art. It is Rebels, These Free and Independent States, number 1 of 8. For those of you who don't know, this is the second miniseries in this series that Brian Wood has done. He did Volume 1, Well-Regulated Militia. It's out in trade now. I got all those individual issues. It was a great series. Kind of went under the radar, a lot of people, I think. But it was a great series on revolution, American Revolution, and kind of told on from a common man's perspective. And he follows this character, Seth Abbott, on his adventures through the years as part of Washington's army, essentially, and what he has to do to survive at home and in the army. So it was a really, really well done series. Definitely looking forward to this series returning. This is going to be a totally different take. I think this is going to focus on the naval battles. And so I think this will be give a lot of fresh insight into the very beginnings of the American Navy, which I don't know too much about, and I'm not sure very many other people do either. So this is kind of the nation in its infancy trying to get its legs in the world and find out what we're about. So there's a lot of trials and tribulations that went on after we defeated the British, and I think this miniseries will go into that. And I know Brian Wood does a ton of research into these, into the first series, and I know he did a lot of his research into the second series as well, I imagine. So it's going to be really well done. It's going to be based in a lot of real history. Obviously, it's historical fiction and fiction characters, but definitely looking forward to this because I think it's a story that, especially the post-revolution in America, is not many people know about. So really looking forward to this. The first issue is coming out March 22nd. It's going to be $3.99. It is a 1 of 8. So 8-issue miniseries, and definitely check this guy's out. Thanks, guys.
Billy Hogan again. My second pick from the January 2017 previews comes from the Dark Horse section on page 71 with Black Hammer number 7. Jeff Lemire, writer and variant cover artist, Dean Ormston, story and cover artist, and Dave Stewart, colorist. On sale March 22nd, 32 pages for $3.99. Joe Weber, The Black Hammer, a hero from the Spiral Slums, a husband, a father, gone without a trace. A visitor from the outside world arrives on the farm, looking for the Black Hammer and bringing news of Spiral City to its Golden Age heroes. Her arrival stirs up old memories and awakens new hope in the marooned heroes. featuring the origin story of the Black Hammer. I've really enjoyed this series, beginning with the first issue. I just received the sixth issue, featuring Madame Dragonfly, this past Saturday, in my latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service. Each issue so far has spent a little time with the backstory of one of the heroes, and I'm looking forward to the origin of the hero whose name serves as the series title. Back to you, John. Billy Hogan again. My third pick in the January 2017 previews comes in the DC Comics section on page 90 with Superman number 18, written by Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason, art and cover by Patrick Gleason and Mick Gray, variant cover by Gary Frank. Superman Reborn Part 1. In DC Universe Rebirth number 1, the enigmatic Mr. Oz told this Superman, quote, "You and your family are not what you believe you are, and neither was the fallen Superman," unquote. Now, in the first Rebirth crossover between Superman and Action Comics, the shocking truth behind Oz's words is revealed. It begins with one of Oz's prisoners escaping and ends in a tragic moment for Lois and Superman. The cover by Patrick Gleason and Mick Gray and the variant covers by Gary Frank for Superman 18 and 19 and Action Comics number 975 and 976 will connect to form a single vertical image. On sale March 1st, 32 pages for $2.99. Back to you, John.
Superman 18 is a comic book page pick of the month. We got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. And I am very curious who the escaped prisoner is. I kind of have my guess because I really only know of one character who kind of is in the position to escape from who I believe is Dr. Oz. But you know who? Who knows? Maybe it's something different. But I'm looking forward to them kind of clarifying some of the comments they made and moving this meta arc forward. Should be a lot of fun. Once again, that's Superman number 18 on page 90. I think it's worth checking out.
Billy Hogan again. My fourth pick in the January 2017 previews comes in the DC Comics section on page 90 with Action Comics number 975, written by Dan Jurgens, issue 975 backup story written by Paul Dini, art by Doug Monkey and Jamie Mendoza, number 975 backup story art by Ian Churchill, cover by Patrick Gleason and Mick Gray, variant cover by Gary Frank, Superman Reborn Part 2. Celebrating our 975th issue with a super-size special as another layer of the Superman Clark Kent mystery is exposed. And in a backup story written by Paul Dini with art by Ian Churchill, learn what it all means for the son of Superman, who is the prize in a deadly game. On sale March 8th, 48 pages for $3.99. And note the higher page count and cover price. Back to you, John. Billy Hogan again. My fifth pick from the January 2017 previews comes on page 91 in the DC Comics section with Superman number 19, written by Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason, art and cover by Patrick Gleason and Mick Gray, variant cover by Gary Frank. Superman Reborn Part 3. In the penultimate chapter of this tale, the life of Superman's son hangs in the balance, and the Man of Steel faces the truth about his life. On sale March 15th, 32 pages for $2.99. Back to you, John. Billy Hogan again. My sixth pick in the January 2017 previews comes in the DC Comics section on page 91 with Action Comics number 976, written by Dan Jurgens, art by Doug Monkey and Jamie Mendoza, cover by Patrick Gleason and Mick Gray, variant cover by Gary Frank. Superman Reborn Finale. As this epic tale wraps up, Superman's life is drastically changed, and that's all we are going to say for now, except that you won't want to miss it. On sale March 22nd, 32 pages for $2.99. Now, I'm not one to keep up with the comic book websites, but I have heard something about the Superman Red, Superman Blue, Electric Boogaloo Superman, as it was called back in the 90s, might reappear, and I have to admit it wasn't my favorite one, but the Reborn continuity has really rejuvenated my enthusiasm for the Superman titles. So I'm just going to go in with an open mind and go where the story takes me. Back to you, John.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason. I'm here at Dragon's Lair in Hawaii with my pick from the DC section on page 114. It's Suicide Squad's issue 13 and 14. This is parts 3 and 4 of Burning Down the House. Now, I'm not going to read the solicitations, but what caught my eye was legendary artist John Romita Jr. is drawing both of these issues. You know, and I just wanted to see John Romita's take on, you know, on these characters, especially Harlequin. And also, I think, you know, on page 114, I think this is a possible cover art for one of the Suicide Squad issues. You know, I'll be picking these issues up from Dragon's Lairs. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Suicide Squad issues 13 and 14. You know, thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Billy Hogan again. My seventh pick in the January 2017 previews comes in the DC Comics section on page 117 with Superwoman number 8, written by Phil Jimenez, art by Emanuela Lupacino, pardon me if I mispronounce that name, and Ray McCarthy, cover by Yasmin Putri, and pardon me if I mispronounce that name, variant cover by Renato Guidez, and pardon me if I mispronounced it. By a thread, the Super Family rallies around Superwoman as the reason her powers are killing her is revealed, as are her connections to the New 52 Superman. The events of Superman Reborn will greatly impact the future of Metropolis' newest hero. I continue to enjoy this series. Phil Jimenez knows how to write a dense story with lots of action and character and plot, which is what I really love in comic books, and you don't get that all the time. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this first storyline of the series wraps up. Back to you, John.
Aloha. This is Jason from Hawaii. Now, I have two picks from the DC section for this month's preview spotlight episode. My first pick comes from page 124. It's the Adam Strange Future Quest Annual number 1. And my second pick comes from page 125, Booster Gold, The Flintstones Annual number 1. Now, for me, you know, most annuals, you know, are standalone stories that are okay reads. You know, but I think what DC is doing for some of their March annuals is pretty cool. You know, they are teaming up some of their DC characters with some of the Hanna-Barbera characters. Now, the annuals look like are going to be a fun read, you know, so, yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. You know, and I know Brawlinator is going to be doing a clip on the Green Lantern Space Ghost Annual number 1. You know, so if you guys get a chance, you know, pick up the Adam Strange Future Quest Annual number 1 and the Booster Gold, the Flintstones Annual number 1. You know, and also to, if your budget allows, you know, check out the other annuals, like the Green Lantern Space Ghost Annual number 1, and also to the Banana Splits and the Suicide Squad number 1 annual. Yeah, you know, I definitely am going to be picking up. That I really am. But overall, I definitely will be picking up all four of these annuals to be checking it out. Like I said, I think all these annuals are going to be a pretty fun read. So, you know, thank you very much for listening. Back to you, John.
Brawlinator again, and my pick from DC is found on page 126. Earlier this year, DC Comics rolled out its interesting takes on the Hanna-Barbera properties, including the Flintstones and a post-apocalyptic Scooby-Doo comic. Now DC is taking that even further by putting together some crazy crossovers between its own superhero titles and the Hanna-Barbera characters. These annuals are in this month's previews, but one crossover I'm especially looking forward to is the Green Lantern Space Ghost Annual number 1 by writers James Tynion IV and Chris Sabella, with art by Ariel Olivetti. Space Ghost and Green Lantern are forced to fight each other and their greatest foes while swapping power sources along the way. The solicit reads, trapped in a strange rift in time, Green Lantern and Space Ghost are forced to battle a variety of foes and each other. And even if they manage to survive, they will be thrown into a world with no concept of interstellar travel or even what an alien is. Stripped of their weapons by a xenophobic culture, the duo will have to battle to regain them. But what happens when Space Ghost dons the lantern ring and Hal Jordan puts on the power bands? The great thing about annuals is they're always one and done, and the preview art looks gorgeous. Do yourself a favor and do an internet search for Ariel Olivetti's artwork, and you'll definitely want to order this annual. Check it out for yourself on page 126 of this month's preview.
Hi, this is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona. The following pick is on page 146 of the DC section, and it is Doom Patrol Silver Age Omnibus, hardcover, written by Arnold Drake and Bob Haney, art by Bruno Premiani and Bob Brown, cover by Bruno Premiani. The complete Silver Age adventures of the Doom Patrol comic Strangest Super Team is collected in a single hardcover, led by their wheelchair-bound chief, Niles Calder. Three outcasts of society, Negative Man, Elastigirl, and Robot Man, take the qualities that made them freaks to become heroes. Together, the trio takes on bizarre menaces, including General Immortus, the Animal Vegetable Mineral Man, and Brotherhood of Evil. Collects My Greatest Adventure, number 80 to 85, and Doom Patrol, number 86 to 124. Okay, this is $99.99. Hardcover, 1,056 pages. Of course, you can use your usual means of getting discounts on that. What's great about the Doom Patrol? This is some Silver Age, really kooky, zany stuff, which is kind of an odd thing to say because, you know, how many planets did Batman and Robin visit in the Silver Age, and how many versions of Kryptonite did Superman come across in the Silver Age? Everything was kooky and zany, but this was a really strange book. In fact, they were called the World's Strangest Heroes. A little bit of history on this. I don't remember the exact details since I don't have my research in front of me. But I do know that X-Men premiered close to around this period. So people want to accuse X-Men of copying Doom Patrol, being that it was a wheelchair-bound chief and some very odd outcasts of society. But I believe they were close together in publication, in that unless it was some secrets that were snuck out of the DC offices and brought over to the Marvel offices to say, hey, look at the Doom Patrol, and it's going to be a big hit, and you guys should do this. Well, neither of them were a big hit, and they both came around the same time. But this really is interesting. It really is good Silver Age fun, and I'm always up for good Silver Age fun. And hey, look at the cover that they show in the solicits. It's got a gorilla in it. And as many of us know, if it's got a gorilla on the cover, it's great.
Billy Hogan again. My eighth pick in the January 2017 previews comes in the Vertigo section of DC, on page 153, with Astro City number 43, written by Kurt Busiek, art by Brent Anderson, and cover by Alex Ross. At long last, it's the origin of the Gentleman. Lord Sampa and his serpent cult strike in the U.S., but are they here to serve their scaly god or to save a soul? And, either way, can the Gentleman stop them? Plus, another incarnation of Astro City's counterculture champions, this time, one you've seen before. This is a re-solicit. It's scheduled to be on sale March 22nd, 32 pages for $3.99. I always look forward to each issue of Astro City and the shipments that I get from Discount Comic Book Service. It really explores the superhero genre with a depth you don't always see from the big two. It really gets under the spandex, so to speak, where you really get to know what it's like to be a superhero. And it also explores how ordinary people live in a world filled with superheroes and supervillains. So I'm looking forward to this latest issue from Astro City. Back to you, John.
Preview Spotlight, the first of the year. These are the submissions to the Comic Book Page Podcast. Our ongoing mission to seek out new books from the previous catalog, to boldly try comics that we've never read before. Hey, that didn't turn out so bad. Anyway, this is Jerry, and I realize I don't have the production values that Brawlinator does, so I just kind of make stuff up as I go along. Oh well, I amuse myself. I am in this month's previews catalog in the IDW section on page 166, looking at Star Trek Deviations. Now, I know this is, John has this as a comic book page pick of the month, through which means through DCBS, you'll get a nice discount if you pre-order it, which I will be doing. And I wasn't going to do anything on this book when I saw that John had selected it, because I didn't want to step on his toes or steal his thunder at all. But I said, what the heck, I really wanted to just say a couple things about it. So, sorry, John. Here's what I got, though. The solicit for this says, in a world where the Romulans discovered Earth before the Vulcans, Earth is now a brutal penal colony. Resistance fighter William Riker has uncovered a vast conspiracy, and together with his band of prisoner outlaws, you might just recognize a few, he must fight to rescue a mysterious prisoner in the darkest level of the Romulan dungeons, the only man on Earth that still holds the key to humanity's return to the stars. A couple reasons I wanted to spotlight this book is I'm a big Star Trek guy, and this has William Riker in it. I love Next Generation, and I totally miss having a Next Generation ongoing comic book series. I'd be one of the 10 people or whatever that would be reading it, but I would definitely read that every month. And the other thing I just wanted to point out about this book is it's written by Donnie Cates and art is by Josh Hood. Donnie Cates is a guy. A couple months ago, I did a submission for God Country number 1 from Image, which is a new creator-owned book that Donnie Cates is doing, and I mentioned that he is one of the up-and-coming writers that I really enjoy. I feel he's very talented. I've enjoyed his work on The Paybacks, on Interceptor from Heavy Metal Publications, from several different books he's worked on. I think he's a very solid writer. He writes good action. He has a very funny sense of humor, and I believe he's a rising star in the industry. So when I see a writer that I'm interested in a book that I'm interested in, it just sounds like pure magic. It's 40 pages for $4.99. That's Star Trek Deviations from IDW Publishing. Thanks.
Star Trek Deviations number 1 on page 166 is also a comic book page pick of the month. As Jerry mentioned, Jerry did a great job of that clip, so thank you, Jerry. Don't worry about stepping on my toes and stuff on these things. If you've got something to say about one of these things, by all means, send in a clip. I make a point of recording my clips after I listen to the submissions. That way I'm not just like duplicating what somebody else says. Now, if all they leave for me to say is, hey, it's a comic book page pick of the month, we've got a 50% discount on it through DCBS, I'm good with that, because you know what? I'm a little lazy because I'm, you know, also editing the episode, all that other stuff. Anyways, I've really been enjoying a lot of what IDW's done with Star Trek over the years. A different take and whatnot on the Star Trek universe and stuff with Deviations just looks like a lot of fun. And this, again, the Romulans discovering Earth before the Vulcans. I mean, that's a major kind of a what-if thing for Star Trek that just seems like fun. So again, Jerry, great job on the clip. Thanks for sending it in. And I agree with Jerry. Check out Star Trek Deviations number 1 when it comes out. It's on page 166.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from IDW on page 189. It is Helena Crash number 1 from writer Fabian Rangel Jr. and artist Warwick Johnson Cadwell. It's a $3.99 book and it is 32 pages. This is takes place in a future where coffee is illegal. Yeek. Helena is a courier delivering black market goods to anyone who can afford her services. When Rojo, a ruthless crime boss, asks her to assassinate his rival, the alien mobster known as White Demon, Helena finds herself in the middle of a gang war. To survive, Helena must use all of her skills and seek help from her friends to stay ahead of her enemies. Sounds pretty cool. I'd hate to live in a world without coffee, so please check this out. On page 189, it is Helena Crash number 1 from IDW.
Hi, this is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona with my next pick. It is in the Image section, page 207. It is Royal City number 1. This is also considered a gem of the month, double-sized debut issue. New ongoing series written and illustrated by Jeff Lemire. Royal City charts the lives, loves, and losses of a troubled family and a vanishing town across three decades. Patrick Pike, a fading literary star who reluctantly returns to the once thriving factory town where he grew up, is quickly drawn back into the dramas of his two adult siblings, his overbearing mother and his brow-beaten father, all of whom are still haunted by different versions of his youngest brother, Tommy, who drowned decades ago. Royal City is a return to the literary and thematic territory of Lemire's breakthrough graphic novel Essex County, and is his most ambitious and most personal project to date. Now, that plot summary doesn't sound like anything that you probably haven't seen or read or watched on TV or watched in your movie theaters or Netflix before, but it's Jeff Lemire, and it's Jeff Lemire both writing and drawing. Lemire's been all over the place the last year, 2 years. He's been writing books that he doesn't draw. He's been drawing books that he doesn't write. If you know his art style, you either may have trouble with it or you have no problem at all with it and really enjoy it. I'm okay with his art style, but I'm more okay with his writing. When he does his own personal projects, he is really, really good. And I expect Royal City to be one of those great personal projects. He really does draw, in writing and in art, really good characters. And I recommend Royal City number 1 before I even see it. I don't expect to be let down, and I'll come back later to solicit Royal City number 2 if I'm not.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Image on page 210. It is Rat Queens number 1 from writer Curtis Wiebe and art by Owen Gianni. This is 32 pages, it's $3.99, and it's after the failed experiment of Tess Fowler on art, after the great debut with Rock Up Chart, Upchurch, he didn't work out, had some personal problems, and got booted, and then they replaced him with Tess Fowler. The title really kind of fell off a cliff after that. And now they're going to do, as they refer to it, as a fresh, soft reboot to the head for the Rat Queens with artist Owen Gianni. Owen Gianni, of course, is from Manifest Destiny, a criminally underread comic, also at Image. And so he's great. Plenty of sample pages to check out there. I've read even more in the backups of some Image books. And so I'm on board and excited for this new beginning to Rat Queens number 1, and hope it picks up where those first volumes left off, those first story arcs left off. So check it out on page 210 in the Image section.
Hey guys, this is Michael. Hope everybody had an amazing holiday season, Christmas and New Year's and everything, and looking forward to 2017 and filled with great comics and good conversation. This is going to be my first pick in the January 2017 previews for everything coming out in March. This is going to be in Image Comics, page 212, Underwinter number 1. Story and art by Ray Fox. Series premiere, Symphony, part 1. Critically acclaimed creator Ray Fox launches his new monthly horror series, Underwinter. Twisted portraits of our dark world, beginning with the perverse topical Symphony, a beautifully painted tale of music and cruelty in the modern age. Now, I don't know too much about the creator. I immediately noticed the series when I was flipping through the previews and saw the cover. It's very striking, macabre cover, and they have one page of the interior art in there, and it's going to be, looks like all painted style, coming to painted style, but I'm definitely going to try this out. It is going to release on March 22nd, 32 pages, and I hope that it's going to be a good one. with him doing the art and the story, I wonder if it's actually going to be coming out monthly. I know that's a lot to handle for one person, but definitely going to give this a shot. And looking forward to it. It's Underwinter number one.
My next pick is on page 214, and it's Magdalena number one from Image Comics. This is part of the Top Cow stuff, and this was one of the titles I really enjoyed back when Ron Mars was kind of controlling the Top Cow universe. And this seems to be kind of a passing of the torch, sort of a storyline for the character. I'm looking forward to it, should be fun. It's basically kind of that holy warrior defending the world from demonic forces and whatnot. She has a brush with death, making her realize, maybe I ought to train a successor. So, looks like a lot of fun, should be good. Once again, that's Magdalena number one on page 214 from Image Comics. It is a comic book page pick of the month. We've got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. Check it out.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. I'm here at Dragon's Lair with my pick from the Image section on page 216. It's the return of Copperhead with issue number 11. This is written by Jay Fairbear, art by Drew Moss and Ron Riley. The solicit reads, critically acclaimed Copperhead returns with a new artist, Drew Moss. Sheriff Clara Bronson's past and present collide as an old friend arrives in town while Clara investigates the murder of Copperhead's mail. Find out why Brian K. Vaughan called this his favorite new comic. Now, Copperhead, you know, I guess has been on hiatus since October 2015. You know, I'm glad Jay Fairbear, you know, brought his series back. You know, this is a great series. You know, I love it. It's in, like an outer space western. What I like about the series is a single parent, Clara Bronson, is, I guess, like running away from her past. So she basically becomes a sheriff of this, this little town, you know, on a planet far out in space and trying to raise her son. You know, so, and it's also pretty cool that it's just, it's almost like, sort of like a slice of life story, you know. There's no superheroes involved or anything like that. It's just the single parent just trying to raise her son and trying to make a life or basically restart her life somewhere else in the universe. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Copperhead number 11. I've already got this on my pull list here at Dragon's Lairs. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
I've been a fan of Jay Fairbear for a long time. I'm glad to see Copperhead coming back. I'd like to see some of his other properties come back too, but, you know, he's got to do what sells and what he wants to do, frankly. So again, great pick there, Jason. Copperhead number 11 is a comic book page pick of the month. We got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. I think it's well worth checking out. Good kind of a sci-fi series that has... It's very different from Farscape, but it's, again, kind of the old West in space similarity to it. Worth checking out there on page 216. Once again, that's Copperhead number 11. Check it out.
Billy Hogan again. My ninth pick in the January 2017 previews comes in the Skybound part of the Image section with Invincible number 134. Story, Robert Kirkman. Art and cover by Ryan Otley and Nathan Fairbairn. The issue is scheduled to be released on March 15th, 32 pages for $2.99. The End of All Things, Part 2. The march to the end continues. Invincible must accept that Thrag can't be defeated without him, and for the good of the universe, he's going to have to risk his life to stop him. One thing I enjoy about Invincible is that Robert Kirkman and crew are not afraid to do anything to his main characters, and I do mean anything, almost to the same extent as, you know, he'll do things to his characters in Walking Dead that you would never expect. And that's one thing that has been bringing me back to Invincible each month for a long time, and I'm sad to see this series come to an end, but I can't wait to read just how everyone is going to wrap it up. Back to you, John.
Hey guys, this is Michael. I'm back with another pick in the January previews. This is going to be on page 252 from Image Comics. And this is going to be Glitter Bomb Volume 1, Red Carpet Trade Paperback. Farrah Durante is a middle-aged actress hunting for the next gig in an industry where youth trumps experience. Her frustrations become an emotional lure for something horrifying out beyond the water, something ready to exact revenge on the shallow, celebrity-obsessed culture that's led her astray. Fan favorite Jim Zub from Wayward and Thunderbolts and newcomer Djibril Morissette-Fan from The Ultimates All-New Wolverine turn to the heart of Hollywood in Glitterbomb, a dramatic horror story about fame and failure. The entertainment industry feeds on our insecurities, desires, and fears. You can't toy with those kinds of primordial emotions without them biting back. It collects Glitterbomb 1-4. Now, I haven't heard too much about this series. I usually take advantage of the huge discounts that DCBS offers, and usually with all their Image Volume 1s, they start at $10 for retail, and DCBS usually has a 50% discount, and they do on this month. For this one, you can get 136 pages for $5. I mean, you just can't beat that. I mean, willing to try a new series, get a 50% off, $5 for 136 pages, that's cheaper than getting a couple of sodas sometimes. So I'm definitely going to try this out. It is Glitterbomb Volume 1, page 252 from Image Comics. Check it out.
My next pick takes us into the Marvel previews, and on page 2, we've got America number 1. Now, this features the second Miss America. She kind of doesn't use the Miss, she just goes by America, which is fine. This is the character that was introduced back in, I think, around 2011 in the, I guess it was the Vengeance miniseries. She's later shown up as a member of the Young Avengers, a member of A-Force, most recently over in Ultimates. So she's made her way around. Pretty cool character. And this is, again, the modern version of what was kind of a female Captain America, Liberty Bell sort of a character originally. Ironically, that was, not ironically, but mildly interestingly, that Miss America character was loosely adapted, and I mean incredibly loosely adapted, for the Super Sentai stuff, Battle Fever J, which was kind of a Captain America of different countries, if you will, Super Sentai show back in around 1979. This, of course, has nothing to do with that. I just thought that was a fun thing to toss out there. Again, this character we've really seen quite a bit in Ultimates, A-Force, and whatnot. Fun character. She's getting her own book. We'll see how long that lasts, hopefully for a little bit, because I like seeing different sorts of characters out there. And she's got a definite attitude and personality about her that makes her stand out from a lot of the other characters in the Marvel Universe. We've got Gabby Rivera writing. We've got Joe Quinones on art. Looks to be a lot of fun. First issue is $3.99. Probably the whole series will be because, well, you know, it's Marvel. But check out pages 2 and 3, the Marvel previews. Failing that, look up Ms. America on Wikipedia to get the background on the character. A lot of fun. Worth checking out, I think. So once again, America number 1 from Marvel Comics. It is a comic book page pick of the month, so we got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. Check it out.
It's Brawlinator again, and my Marvel pick this month can be found on page 12 in the Marvel Preview Supplemental. Now, this is a cautious recommendation. As a fan of Steve Gerber's classic take on Man-Thing, I generally perk up when I see this Bronze Age character showing up in the modern age, but I'm not exactly sure if this is going to be for me or not. These modern incarnations rarely are. Either way, it's definitely worth mentioning. You see, this iteration of the Marvel Comics Muck Monster is being written by Goosebumps creator R.L. Stein. And Marvel is no stranger to fear fiction, with horror titles including The Midnight Suns, Werewolf by Night, Dracula, Adventures into Fear, and so on. And of course, Man-Thing. This new title will feature artwork by German Peralta, and each issue will also feature an original horror short from Stein brought to life by a rotating crew of artists, with Daniel Warren Johnson illustrating the first story. I can't think of any other Marvel character more perfectly suited for R.L. Stein to take a swing at than the Man-Thing, especially since Man-Thing began life as one of Marvel's creatures that go bump in the night. Originally conceived by Stan Lee, Roy Thomas, Jerry Conway, and Gary and Gray Morrow, the mossy beast first appeared way back in Savage Tales No. 1 in 1971 when a character named Dr. Ted Salas attempted to duplicate the Super Soldier Serum which created Captain America, but he accidentally turned himself into a Man-Thing. It was comic book gold. And I know that somehow they'll retell a portion of that origin in this new modern take. But the one tidbit that gives me pause is the news that although one of the challenges for writing Man-Thing for writers was his eerie silence, but that facet of the Swamp Monster is apparently no longer an issue with this new version. Let me read the solicit. Attempting to recreate the formula that produced Captain America, biochemist Ted Salas was transformed into the shambling creature known only as Man-Thing. Now, having recently regained his ability to speak, red flag, red flag, Man-Thing sets out on a journey to leave the swamps once and for all, but when an ancient and mysterious danger threatens reality, he will have to choose between his new life and the place he once called home. This is a 5-issue limited series, and I actually do hope it's as good as it promises to be. R.L. Stein is a master, and in spite of the added word balloons, I'm going to check it out. Check it out for yourself in this Marvel Supplemental Previews found on page 12.
My next pick is on page 20 of the Marvel Previews, and it is Iron Fist number 1. It's been a little while since we've had an Iron Fist series, and I'm looking forward to it. He's been showing up quite a bit over in Luke Cage's title, and it's about time, like I said, he gets his own book. We've got Ed Brisson writing, we've got Mike Perkins on art, got a couple of different possible covers here, including an Alex Ross one that looks just amazing. I'm looking forward to it because I'm a fan of the character. I like good kind of martial arts characters that are making their way in the same sort of world as the Avengers and other really powerful people. And with the character getting the spotlight and stuff over on Netflix, I expect him to be a bigger factor in the Marvel Universe over the next few years and such. But this should be a lot of fun. It is a comic book page pick of the month. That means we've got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. And thanks again, Cameron and Christina over at DCBS for letting me make some picks and those things getting a little bit of an extra discount. It is appreciated. Hopefully that'll convince some people to go try this out. It is a $3.99 book, so the extra discount, I think, does help. But like I said, it should be a lot of fun. Once again, it's Iron Fist number 1 from Marvel on page 20 of the Marvel Previews. Check it out.
This is Jerry, and I am in the Marvel Previews catalog on page 33, The Unworthy Thor, number 5 of 5, written by Jason Aaron, with art by Olivier Coipel. The hammer of the ultimate Thor is finally within reach of Asgard's fallen son. Is redemption finally at hand? No matter what happens next, life will never be the same for the Odinson. This has been a really good miniseries. The Mighty Thor, Jason Aaron has done great work on Thor, very good run, and Mighty Thor featuring the female Thor has been very good, and this is an excellent miniseries. I've been loving it. I'm looking forward to see how it ends and to see what comes next for Odinson. What's funny is in issue 3 maybe, he cut his hair, and now in the picture in this previous catalog here, you see him with he's got the short haircut and the manicured beard, and it's like, wow, Thor is like a hipster, or he's a millennial now, I guess. It's just kind of funny. I'm surprised his costume, he's not wearing skinny jeans with a bow tie, and I think he's traded in his flagons of mead or ale for IPAs and craft beer, and speaking ironically, I don't know. Anyway, it's just funny. It doesn't look bad, though. He looks pretty good, actually, with this look. It's just kind of funny. I'm an old guy, an old traditional type person, but, you know, hey, whatever. He still looks cool. The artwork has been great in this miniseries. The writing is really good. It's a fun story. Can't wait to see what happens next. This miniseries has had Beta Ray Bill, who I always love Beta Ray, so check out The Unworthy Thor, number 5. And if you're behind, catch up. This is good stuff. Page 33 from the Marvel Previews catalog.
Todd Cassell with my next pick in the Marvel catalog, page 125. And it's Captain America and the Falcon Secret Empire trade paperback. I'll make this one quick because I went long on the animosity. I try to stick to 2 minutes on these things because I tend to babble, especially since I just babble. I'm doing this free wind. Captain America the Falcon, I remember reading this when I was young in the 70s. Yes, I love the 70s. Marvel, I love the 70s in comics. And it was a great run of Captain America, collecting Captain America number 169 to 176. That's the original run of this series for Marvel in the 70s, not all these various runs that happen today. And this was really cool. Captain America, Criminal, the Secret Empire was really more secretive or empirical than in this classic arc that sets Cap against a conspiracy out to frame and replace him in the American mind and pay close attention to the man behind the curtain or mask, as the case may be. Nick Fury, Black Panther, and Banshee join the action, and the X-Men guest star back before it was cool, as the Secret Empire shocking agenda is revealed. Corruption and cover-ups conclude, and Cap is shaken to his core. Now, I've read this story a number of times in the issues, and I just like it. I was so shocked by the shock ending. And the person behind the mask is... Okay, I'm not going to say it. Just teasing. Anyway, this was written by Roy Thomas, Tony Isabella, Stephen Gerhard, and Mike Frederick, and penciled by Sal Buscema, and covered by John Romita Sr. And those are classic 70s creators, and I recommend this storyline. I recommend this trade paperback. Enjoy.
Billy Hogan again. My 10th and final pick in the January 2017 previews comes on page 268 from Abstract Studios with Motor Girl number 4, writer, story, and cover artist Terry Moore. Vic and Larry try to bully Samantha into selling the junkyard, but Sam proves to be a formidable opponent, especially with the help of a few resident extraterrestrials. Motor Girl has won the hearts of comic readers. Don't miss a single issue of this fun, heartfelt story. 24 pages for $3.99. In my November shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, I got the first issue of Motor Girls, and I've been reading everything that Terry Moore has produced since about issue 74 of Strangers in Paradise. And he hasn't drawn or created a bad story yet, and I don't expect him to do that now with this latest series. That first issue was a lot of fun. In just a few number of pages, he established the main characters. He's able to give us enough of Sam's background to get to know her and care about her, and set up the main conflict of the story. So I'm looking forward to seeing where Terry Moore takes us with Motor Girl number 4. And I hope everyone had a fun and safe holiday season. And as always, thank you, John, for providing this forum where we can share our enthusiasm for the comic book medium.
Hello again, this is Jerry. And for my next selection in the previews catalog, I'm on, well, hold on a sec. Now that I've just made me digress for 1 second, since I mentioned just the previews catalog itself, I'm looking at the front cover. Did anyone else notice this month the cover has this matte finish? It is legit. I don't know. It makes just a big difference. This cover with the American Gods, Glenn Fabry artwork on it with this matte finish, it's just amazing to me. I mean, it's just the previous catalog that, but wow, it's funny how much just a little change like that can just alter something. But I digress. Let's get back to the selection. Page 272, Action Lab Danger Zone. Featured item: in a world that outlawed karate, one man fought to fight. AmeriKarate number 1, a new ongoing series written by Brockton McKinney and Corey Kalman, with art by Devin Roth. The solicit says, Sam Kickwell was the best of the best, until a terrible karate accident involving his brother and ninjas convinced him to hang up his black belt. Now he and his appendageless sibling have moved to a town that has outlawed the martial arts, a place they can finally be at peace, until the fateful day his enemies arrive, forcing him back into the only life he's ever known, karate fighting for America. Wow, that is intense. Actually, it's pretty silly, but that's kind of what caught my eye. I'm a big fan of 80s B action movies, American Ninja series, Best of the Best, all those really cheesy B action movies from the times. And if you recall, in the 70s, we all are familiar with the kung fu craze that swept the country in the 70s. It was about Bruce Lee and kung fu and Master Kung Fu and Deadly Hands of Kung Fu and G.I. Joe with Kung Fu Grip. But then as we got into the 80s, it was all about the ninjas. Everywhere you turned, there were ninjas. And it's just kind of funny. It's this book is a cross between those 80s style B ninja movies and Footloose. They even have an alternate cover they're calling Kick Loose, where the guy is in the famous Footloose pose on the cover. So that's pretty funny. The preview artwork in this, they show these little miniature pages. It's hard to really see. It's quite cartoony looking. I'm sure the book is just going to be totally silly nonsense, but what the heck? It's kind of cool. I'm going to give it a shot. One thing too that I think is interesting, the Action Lab puts in some of their solicits. It says covers B through E, so B, C, D, and E, limited to 1,500 copies each. Well, I was not a math major, but so B, C, D, and E, if they're limited to 1,500 copies, that gives you 6,000 of the variant copies. How many of these books are they going to make or going to sell? I got to think this book is not going to have a print run much bigger than 6,000 copies. I don't know. I'm just guessing. So that means maybe cover A would be the real variant, because there probably wouldn't be 1,500 of that one. I don't know. It's just kind of funny if you look at some of the smaller publishers when they talk about their exclusive variants and this and that. If you ever add up that math and then look at some of the numbers, what some of the books actually sell, they don't seem that, the variants don't seem as scarce. Anyway, I kind of really went off the track on this one, but Action Lab Danger Zone, America Karate number 1 on page 272 in your previews catalog. Thanks.
I think when they say that covers B through E are limited to 1,500 copies each, it means they're not going to produce any more than 1,500 copies of each. Not that they will definitely produce 1,500 copies of each. But, you know, who knows? It may have had something to do with the printing, but I do not believe that that means there are that many. That having been said, I do sometimes believe that the default standard regular cover or whatever is sometimes the most collectible because of all of these variants and things like that. It's just kind of funny. But I also think the whole cover gimmick thing has gone nuts over the last few years.
Hi, Todd Cassell again with my next pick. It's in the Aftershock section, page 274, and it's Animosity, volume 1. Aftershock is an interesting company. You've probably heard of it from some other recommendations in the past. I think I even recommended Rough Riders, a very interesting comic series. In this case, this is the collection of the first, I believe, 5 or 6 issues of Animosity. We'll find out when I take a look at the solicit in detail. But a little bit of a story on this. I am not a wait-for-the-trade type of person, and I got the first issue of Animosity, and it was really interesting. You know, what happens when the animals of the world start to talk and start to show an intelligence? I really liked it, and I was ready to try it again, but it was too quick when it came out. I must have missed the premiere of it for a couple of weeks, and then by then issue 2 had come out and I had missed it at the comic shop. I didn't have a chance to put it on a reserve and I got stuck. My comic shop today, I check it every week. They still have issue 1, issue 3, issue 4, but not issue 2. Or else I would have bought it. Because again, I want to support Aftershock. I know they're struggling. And I'm not a wait for the trade guy if it is something that I am really interested in. In this case, I had to wait for the trade because I could have gone around town. I mean, I do live in a major metropolitan area in Arizona. Could have gone around town searching for it, but you know, I stick to my one shop and that was about it. So I'm getting this trade.
because, again, I read the first issue and it was really cool. I'll say it real quickly. One day, for no reason, the animals wake up, they start thinking, they start talking, they started taking revenge. The volume collects the first four issues. Oh, I was way off. Of the best-selling series, plus a special one-shot issue, Animosity: The Rise. The world is plunged into chaos as the newly intelligent animals fight humanity and simply fight each other for their own lives, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And in the midst of the turmoil, it's Jessie, an 11-year-old girl, and her dog, Sandor, who is devoted to her and her protection. 1 year after the incident, Jessie and Sandor begin a cross-country journey to find Jessie's half-brother, Adam, who is living in San Francisco. Anyway, you know, again, I support everyone supporting their comic shops and their comic companies like Aftershock. And typically I wouldn't wait for the trade, but hey, at least it's Aftershock's trade and they'll get my money one way or the other. Maybe after this issue I will jump on and start buying it as a series if I do end up liking those three issues I missed. Thank you.
Hey guys, this is Michael back with another pick in this month's previews. This is going to be from Aftershock Comics, page 275. Rough Riders, Riders on the Storm, number 2. Writer Adam Glass and artist is Patrick O'Leaf. It's going to be on sale March 15th, 32 pages, $3.99. And the solicit is as follows. Madman Leon Silgos has just shot President McKinley at the 1901 World's Fair. As the nation looks to Vice President Theodore Roosevelt for guidance, he calls upon his fellow Rough Riders to help him investigate the assassination attempt. As they dig deeper, they unearth a worldwide conspiracy that not only threatens the fabric of our society, but also pits the Rough Riders against some of the history's most famous characters. Join the secret adventure of the greatest band of heroes that the world has never knew. Welcome to Rough Riders, Riders on the Storm. Now, I just picked up the first volume this past month and read it, as I did not get the individual issues, and it was super fun. Super great take on these historical figures, and it's a fun little historical romp of historical fiction, and it's got a great team aspect to it. There's a kind of a, I want to say almost kind of a Suicide Squad vibe to it, as you have these team of guys, and but they're all historical figures, and it's a really brisk read, just full of action and humor, and just really super fun. And I can't wait for this second miniseries and to start up. And this is the second issue. I'm definitely am pre-ordering this series from now on based on the first volume, and looking forward to it. And it's Rough Riders, Riders on the Storm, number 2. Thanks, guys. Hey, guys. This is Michael back with another pick. And this month's previews, this is going to be on page 280 from Albatross Funny Books. It's Hillbilly Volume 1 Trade Paperback. I've heard a lot of great things about this series. It's written and the art is done by one guy, Eric Powell, who I'm sure many know from his Goon series, which I haven't read. I need to go back and read those. But I've heard a lot of great things about this series. This trade paperback collects the first four issues and also a Comixology short story as well. And I guess some sketch material and some other stuff in there too. It's going to be $17.99, but it's 132 pages. So I've heard a lot of good things about this series from Drew on Comics for Fun and Profit and a couple other really good reviews on this series. And I did not get the issues when they first came out, and now they're very high priced on the secondary market and whatnot. So I didn't really want to pay through the nose for that. So I'm getting this first volume, the first four issues, to check it out. And it's from Albatross Funny Books. It's definitely in the back of the catalog, so you kind of have to search for it, but definitely going to pre-order this. I think it's at a 30% discount through DCBS, so it lessens it a little bit. They can't discount these as heavily because it is such a small publisher or whatnot. So looking forward to this. It does not have a release date, but I'm assuming it'll be March sometime it'll come out. So looking forward to this, and it's Hillbilly Volume 1 Trade Paperback. Thanks, guys.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Alterna Comics in the back half of previews on page 280. It is Blood for Stone graphic novel written by Kenton Daniels with art by Shannon Ritchie. I think I read one of these issues and it was okay. But really what I'm more excited for is the fact that they're going to go back to printing on newsprint in the future. So
look for more previews clips from me on Alternate Comics, because I am super excited for $1 and $1.99 comics as a regular thing on newsprint. I don't think it affected digital as well as much. So that means a drop in comic prices and more comics budget, stretching the comic budget even further. So I'm excited for Alternate Comics and what that might bring, and hopefully leading the other publishers to kind of do the same thing. And that's a good thing in my mind. So check out Alternate Comics. Maybe this title isn't for you, but keep an eye on them in the future. Page 280 of the back half of previews.
This is Jerry once again, and for my next selection, turn to page 284 in the previous catalog in the American Mythology section for Hatchet number 0. Now, right off the bat, I've got to get this out of the way. John, my friend, this book is not for you. I'm sorry, but just, you can fast forward right through this or plug your ears. What we have here, Hatchet number 0, Adam Green's Hatchet, written by James Kahorek, art by Andrew Mangum, with a cover by Greg LaRocque. And Hatchet is a trilogy of horror movies that came out over the last 10 years that Adam Green made. And they are an homage, they're a love letter to 80s slasher movies. They're like Friday the 13th movies, basically. They're set in the swamps of Louisiana. And I'm a big fan, just like I said in the AmeriKarate spotlight, that I'm a big fan of the 80s B action movies. Well, I'm also a big fan of 80s and actually all eras of horror movies and slasher movies, B movies of every genre, basically. If it's weird, off-kilter, wacky, just anything genre-related, then there's a good chance that Jerry is a fan. And that's one of the unfortunate things, is I like so much stuff. But anyway, Hatchet number 0. Victor Crowley returns to terrorize comics in a brand new series. In 2006, filmmaker Adam Green released a new American horror movie that paid homage to his favorite monsters. The movie was Hatchet, and it told the story of Victor Crowley, a deformed child that came back to life as an unstoppable killing machine. Cursed to live out his terrifying last moments again and again, Crowley brutally murders anyone foolish enough to enter his swamp sanctuary, filled with over-the-top gore, classic movie monster horror, and a boatload of black humor. This is the ultimate comic for fright fans. Also, in the movies, Victor Crowley is played by Kane Hodder, who was the most famous and popular Jason from the Friday the 13th series. I've had the pleasure of meeting Kane on several occasions at some horror movie conventions, and he's a heck of a guy. And he had a lot of fun making these movies when I asked him about them. So, I mean, it's a movie series that I love. I did not know they were making a comic. It sounds pretty cool. The artwork they're showing here looks really good. I'm down. I'm sure it's, I don't know if it says here, I'm sure it's just a mini series. Again, John, not really to your sensibilities, but you know, hey, we all like what we like, and this is more up my alley. So, Hatchet number 0 from American Mythology, page 284 from your previous catalog, $3.99, 32 pages. Check it out.
Yeah, it sounds like all the reasons you would like Hatchet would be all of the reasons I would not. And that's one of those things where it's great that there's so many things out there in the comic market, because we all have our individual tastes, and the trick is to match the right books for the right people. It's better for you to pick this up than for me, because you'll love it, and me, it'd be a waste of my money that I could spend elsewhere. So yeah, again, thank you for sending in that clip, because that's the exact sort of comic I would never cover myself. And that's part of why I kind of crowdsource these episodes. To get these things that just aren't to my taste, but there are going to be other people out there who love it and enjoy it. So hopefully they find it because of the clip. So thanks.
Aloha. This is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Archie section on page 296. It's Jughead the Hunger One-Shot, written by Frank Thierry and art and cover by Michael Walsh. Now the solicit reads, Jughead Jones has always had an insatiable appetite, but what if his hunger came from a sinister place, when a murderous menace is on the prowl, taking the lives of some of the most well-known and esteemed inhabitants of Riverdale? Jughead and his family's dark legacy come to light. Join writer Frank Thierry and artist Michael Walsh for this horrifying one-shot for teen readers. Now, it's just the craziness of this possibility that Jughead is a werewolf is enough for me to pick up this issue. Now, you know, you gotta give Archie Comics, you know, credit for trying to keep, you know, their characters fresh and relevant. You know, who knows, maybe the next storyline or comic book issues that they do in the future, it could be Archie Andrews is an android trying to find his humanity, you know, at Riverdale High. I mean, who knows? The possibilities are endless. If you guys get a chance, pick up Jughead, The Hunger One Shot. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
It's the Brawlinator here, joining everyone in the back half of the previews, page number 296 in the Archie Comics section on page 296. Archie Comics is releasing four very interesting one-shots this month, and the one that I'd like to focus on is for readers who like their Archie characters made for an all-ages audience. So for me, the most exciting title in this lineup has to be Little Archie, in which Art Baltazar and Franco revive the long-running adventures of an elementary school-aged Archie Andrews to tell the story of his weirdest day ever. This comic follows a lighthearted adventure of small, cartoony versions of the River Dell crew. The solicit reads, Archie's wildest day ever starts with a cat eating his homework and things just get crazier from there. But this isn't just an ordinary cat, and this certainly won't be an ordinary day for little Archie and his friends. Little Archie is, of course, a title with a long history at Archie Comics, dating all the way back to 1956 and the launch of a long-running series that featured work by the incomparable Bob Bowling and are to this day considered some of the best stories Archie Comics has ever published. I certainly like Art and Franco's style, although it does nothing to harken back to those days of my childhood when little Archie was being shepherded by Bowling or Taylor. But since this is a one-shot, I'm in. Check it out for yourself. There are some other very exceptional offerings in the Archie Comics section of this month's previews. I'm also going to pick up that Jughead one-shot while I'm at it.
I'd actually read an Archie the Android series, or maybe at least a one-shot or something on that. That's a really cool idea. My next pick is on page 310 of the previews catalog. It is by Black Box Comics, a publisher I'm not familiar with. I'm frankly not even sure if they've done anything before. And the title is IT, The Secret World of Modern Banking. It's number 1 of 5. It's by Scott McDaniel, who's been the artist on Nightwing and Daredevil and some other stuff. So it's got good art. The cover looks great. And this is about bank information technology. Let me read the solicit. Bank information technology expert Evan Adonis works at the nexus of the bank's communication and data networks. The executive's corruption, lies, revenge, and abuse he discovers is terrifying. In the internally corrupt world of modern banking, the IT expert is both the most powerful asset and the most hunted liability. Now, anyone can tell a really cool story with, you know, superheroes or super spies or in a sci-fi setting or whatever. But have you ever driven down the street, looked at the local bank and think, wow, I bet whatever's going on in there has got to be exciting? No, this to me seems really interesting because it's taking something that seems pretty mundane. You know, working in IT at a bank does not sound thoroughly exciting. And he's going to make a really good 5-issue series out of this. Scott McDaniels is doing the writing, the art, the cover, probably just about everything. I love it when creators do their own creator-owned stuff. Like I said, this looks like a lot of fun. I like the cover. It's got kind of an iconic user interfacey sort of a cover look to it. Check it out there on page 310. Is it going to be a hit or a miss? I don't know. I'm banking on Scott McDaniel doing a good job and it being a hidden gem. We'll see if that happens. It's a $3.99 comic. It is a comic book page pick of the month. Because it's from one of these smaller press, it's got a 45% discount through DCBS. This is the sort of thing that if you want it through DCBS, you want it from your local shop, you want it from anybody, let them know. This is not something a retailer is likable to order just because. you know, if you want it, let him know. And again, it may be worth checking the solicit out to figure out if you want it or not. These are the exact sort of things I'm talking about when I say that things can get lost in the shuffle every month in previews. I just stumbled across it, and like I said, I hope it's good. We'll find out in a couple of months. Once again, that's IT, The Secret World of Modern Banking, number one from Black Box Comics on page 310 of the previews. Check it out.
It's Brawlinator again. I'm in the Chapter House Comics section of previews on page 336. It's called Die Kitty Die, the trade paperback. Written and created by Dan Parent and Fernando Ruiz, this hit comic was first brought to the publishing world via Kickstarter. Now the hit comic series is collected in a softcover. Kitty Ravencraft is the lead character. She's a beautiful, magical young witch, and she's the star of her own popular comic book. But when her greedy, publicity-starved publisher wants to increase interest in her comic book, he does what many comic book publishers do these days. He sets out to kill his main character, Kitty. Even worse, he decides to really spike sales by killing the real Kitty in real life. And the question is, though, how do you kill a witch? Now, you may not recognize the names Dan Parent and Fernando Ruiz, but they have been in the comics business for over 20 years and have produced many popular hot-selling comics for other publishers, including Archie Meets Kiss, Archie vs. Predator, Felix the Cat, and many more. They'd frequently discuss the possibility of doing something together that was creator-owned, and Die Kitty Die was born. They launched a Kickstarter campaign and quickly got more than enough support to move forward, and recently the title was picked up by Chapter House, and the rest is history. Check it out for yourself. Again, you can find it over on page 336 of this month's previews.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Dynamite on page 348 and 349. It is Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys, The Big Lie, number one, from writer Anthony Del Cole and artist Werther Dallara. And this is a $3.99 comic and 32 pages. And hey, it's the Hardy Boys again. I used to love those books when I was a kid, and I don't know if I've ever read them as a comic before, so I'm excited to check this out and see if it kind of recaptures that magic of yonder years of reading Hardy Boys mysteries. Those were always fun books, and it's reimagined, actually. This is those beloved teen detectives reimagined as hard-boiled noir, so... we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Dynamite's been doing some cool stuff that I've been enjoying lately, and I'm willing to check this out and see what this new twist is. So if you're interested as well, you should check it out on page 348, 349 of the Dynamite section in the back half of previews.
Brawlinator again, and I'm back with my next pick. It's found on page 402 in the Oni Press section. It's written by Neil Holman, and it's called Redline. This is issue number one. Holman may sound familiar to you because he's also a producer and art director on the animated spy series Archer. And now he has a comic, and it's drawn by Clayton McCormack and colored by Kelly Fitzpatrick, and it's from Oni Press this March. The series is a futuristic science fiction black comedy, and it's set on Mars with an unknown enemy, and our team is surrounded by nosy media using hovering drone cameras. Yes, the solicit reads, Mars has been colonized, but it's still in the early-ish stages of it, and the native species there, a humanoid alien species, haven't taken too kindly to the occupation. When a bomb goes off and obliterates what amounts to a city block, the aliens are blamed for the crime. But Denton Coyle, AFOSI superintendent, finds a clue that might point to a different culprit, and one that connects directly to his past. I assume that AFOSI in this case still stands for Air Force Office of Special Investigations, so it could be an X-Files investigation on Mars with a sense of black humor. It might be worth your time and attention. Check it out for yourself on page 402 of this month's previews. It's called Redline Number 1 from Oni Press. Chris Brawlinator Brawley again, and my next pick is found on page 424 in the Titan Comics section. It's an all-new comic series based on the best-selling Anno Dracula novels written by creator Kim Newman with art by Paul McCaffrey, who also draws the Third Doctor. The Anno Dracula novels depict an alternate 19th century history where the characters of Bram Stoker's Dracula failed to prevent Count Dracula's subjugation of Great Britain. And the Count has gone on to create a world where vampires are living amongst humans and are a central part of society. The series also features characters including Jack the Ripper, Professor Moriarty, and Van Helsing. Newman is a critic, author, and broadcaster, and he writes the Anno Dracula series of horror novels, which were first published in 1992. There have since been four Anno Dracula novels to date, as well as short stories. Neil Gaiman, who I coincidentally mentioned earlier, he helped develop this series and calls Anno Dracula compulsory reading, citing the series as a main source of inspiration for his Hugo Award-winning short story, A Study in Emerald. The solicit for this reads, 1895. Prince Dracula has ruled Great Britain for 10 years, spreading vampirism through every level of society. On the eve of Dracula's Jubilee, radical forces gather to oppose the tyrant. Kate Reed, vampire journalist and free thinker, takes a seat on the Revolutionary Council of 7 Days, though she learns that the anarchist group harbors a traitor in its midst. The Grey Men, Dracula's dreaded secret police, have been ordered to quash all resistance to the rule of the arch vampire. With intrigue on all sides, the scene is set for an explosive addition to the Anno Dracula series. I'm thinking, based on some previews I've seen and other details I've read about, this story is set before the events of the first novel, and then it looks like it'll be going beyond that original novel into something brand new. Now, if this is a subject you'd be interested in, or you've read the original novels, you will definitely want to check out this new series from Titan, Anno Dracula. Check it out yourself. It's on page 424 of this month's previews.
And this is Jerry once again with my final selection in this month's preview spotlight, recording this from the deepest bowels of my secret underground lair. I'm way in the back of the book, page 435, Titan Comics, World War X, number 4, written by Jerry Frisson, art by Peter Sneeberg. And sorry, Peter, if I butchered your last name, but that's the best I can do. World War X is a 6-issue miniseries by Titan Comics. I have recently read the first issue on a whim. It just looked kind of cool. I picked it off the rack at the comic store. I liked the cover. So let's give this a try. I loved it. There really isn't much of a solicit. In here it says, B-movie infused science fiction horror acclaimed by creators and critics alike. Wow. I'm detecting a theme here. Almost all my clips this month, I've mentioned B-movies. Sometimes I think my life is a B-movie, but whatever. I guess sometimes I think we live in the Matrix, but I think that's a topic for another time. World War X was, the first issue was quite fun. It was, I believe in South America, some archaeologists are doing a dig, and they come across some relics underground. And, of course, something may be unleashed. We also have a intrepid news reporter lady who is poking around trying to see what's going on. Of course, the governments are trying to cover it up, as governments do. And we are introduced to a very mysterious character who is awakened from his slumber by his manservant. And he's some kind of super rich fellow that is apparently some sort of a immortal, or at least a very long-lived individual. And he has a team on the move. Evidently, they've gone through various points in time dealing with this threat when it arises. And it's just a sci-fi horror kind of a thing. It's kind of like an Aliens theme, like the movie Aliens, Ridley Scott type feel to it. And actually, the aliens look somewhat like that as well. But it was fun. It was just a fun kind of caught me by surprise. It's a 6-issue mini. It's definitely worth a read. Titan puts out a lot of really good books. There are just so many good books being put out by so many different companies. It is just impossible to even keep up. And I love just stumbling across some of these little nuggets that I enjoy out of the blue. It's really fun stuff. Maybe you don't want to jump in with issue 4. Maybe just make a note when the trade comes out, pick it up, or check it out through Comixology or something. But a World War X, it's a lot of fun, and I recommend it. From Titan Comics, page 435 in your previews. That's it for this month. Bye.
Hi, Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my last pick of the month. Before I make that pick, again, I want to recommend, if you're in the Phoenix area, All About Books and Comics. It is a great comic book store. It's just west of Central Avenue on Camelback. And really, go there, tell them Todd Cassell sent you, and keep telling them that until they treat you nice. No, they'll treat you nice even if you don't drop my name. Anyway, again, that's All About Books and Comics in Phoenix, Arizona. My last pick is on page 448 in the Tomorrows section. I love Tomorrows, and it looks like they've come up with another great book, and it's called Hero A Go-Go, Campy Comic Books, Crime Fighters, and Culture of the Swinging 60s, soft cover. This goes for $36.95 or whatever discount you can manage. I always buy these digitally, actually. I do a lot of digital purchasing. I subscribe to Alter Ego and Back Issue digitally. But this looks like a great book. I don't want to buy this digitally. I want it on my shelf. Welcome to the camp age, when spies like their wars cold and women warm. Good guys beat bad guys with a pun and a punch, and Batman shook a mean cape. Hero A Go-Go celebrates the camp craze of the swinging 60s, when just about everyone, the teens of Riverdale, an ant and a squirrel, even the President of the United States, was a superhero or a secret agent. Michael Urey takes you through that coolest cultural phenomena with this lively collection of nostalgic essays, histories, and theme song lyrics of classic 1960s characters like Captain Action, Herbie the Fat Fury, Captain Knife, and Adam Ant, Scooter, ACG's Nemesis, Dell's Super Frankenstein, and Dracula, The Split, Captain Marvel, and others. The moment I saw the Frankenstein superhero on the cover, I said, okay, I got to read up on these things. I have that issue, an issue where there was a superhero Frankenstein and a superhero Dracula from Dell's. So goofy. And how can you not enjoy goofy old comics? And this is a book that's all about them. And it'll probably make you go tracking down the back issue bins after you read all about them, because this looks like fun stuff. Everyone have a great month and enjoy your comic books.
Hey guys, it's Brawlinator again, and this is my last pick from this month's previews. It's found in the Valiant section on page 452, and it's the all-new XO Manowar number 1. This is being dubbed the first issue of an epic new ongoing series from New York Times bestselling writer Matt Kent and an all-star arsenal of artists, including Tomas Giarello, Doug Braithwaite, Clayton Crane, Ryan Bodenheim, and Miko Sion, that together will span the series' first year in 2017 and beyond. This is a new beginning for Valiant's icon XO Manowar. The solicit reads, "Born under the oppressive thumb of the Roman Empire, Eric of Dacia learned warfare at an early age. It was amid such violence that he was abducted by an alien race. Forced into slavery, he survived where others perished. His escape would come from bonding with a weapon of immeasurable power, the XO Manowar armor. With it, he returned to Earth, but only to find himself stranded in the modern day. That was a lifetime ago, and now, far from home on a strange and primitive new world, Eric has begun a new life. Liberated from his past, he tends to his crops, free from war, free from violence, free from the armor. But the machinery of death marches his way once again. Matt Kent is setting out to create something far more ambitious and far-reaching than anything Valiant has attempted with XO Manowar before. 2017 is XO Manowar's 25th anniversary, too, but instead of falling back into nostalgia, Valiant has decided to take XO into uncharted territory using a premier team of talent, and when XO emerges on the other side, I think we're going to be looking at a very different and much larger Valiant universe. I think the company is building what will be the bedrock of their next phase, and I think their goal is to have an impact on the entire comics industry. Get in on the ground floor of the biggest Valiant debut of all time. It begins on March 22nd in XO Man of War number 1. And one other thing I'd like to mention, the free comic book day solicits are coming out, and there is an XO Man of War number 0, a prelude to this number 1 launch. You might want to check that out if you're pre-ordering your books through DCBS. As you're going to check out at the end of making your order, it will give you the options to select a handful of free comic book day offerings. So check that out. Once again, John, always a great time being a part of this previews episode, and I'm looking forward to listening to everyone else's solicits, and I will have my order form open and ready to update it. Thanks again. I'll see you guys in the forums.
XO Man of War is also kind of the, really the flagship title to, in many respects, for the Valiant universe these days. It's had a lengthy run of 50 issues and stuff. It went away for a few months. I'm glad it's coming back. I'm looking forward to it. It is a comic book page pick of the month. We've got a 75% discount on it through DCBS. It's a title well worth checking out. It's kind of a what if Conan was wearing Iron Man's armor is more or less the high concept. It's a lot of fun. Again, Roland did a great job kind of explaining it and pitching it and stuff. So again, check out XO Man of War on page 452 in the previews catalog.
Aloha, everyone. This is Jason from Hawaii. I just want to wish everyone a Happy New Year, or as we say in Hawaii, haole maka hiki ho. Now, I just want to encourage all listeners, you know, to submit clips into future preview spotlight episodes. And it's, you know, to share your love of comics, you know, with other listeners. You know, for me, when I do these clips, you know, it's fun to do. And also, too, it's like, you know, I get to, you know who the writers are, who the artists are on the series that, you know, I submit clips in for. And also, too, you know, what I like about these preview spotlight episodes, to hear everyone's recommendations. You know, like, for example, Jerry, he did one, he recommended God Country, and he talked about the writer Donnie Cates. You know, he talked about that writer so much, I decided to give God Country a try, at least for the first arc. So again, you know, I just encourage all listeners, you know, if you guys get a chance to submit clips in, you know, to future preview spotlight episodes. And again, it's to share your love of comics, you know, with others. You know, please, you know, check out the forum, you know, for more information such as, you know, how to record a clip, you know, and also, you know, when deadlines are due to submit clips in for next preview spotlight. I want to thank everyone for listening to my clips. I look forward to hearing everyone's clips. Thank you very much for listening. Until next month, aloha.
This was one of those months where previews kind of snuck up on me. I had actually not downloaded the DCBS order form until just a few days ago, and I've done my initial pass through the order form, figured out what I wanted. While I was editing this episode, I added a couple of things to my order. The Rebels Free and Independent States actually sounds really cool, so thanks Billy and Michael for sending in clips on that. That had missed my radar first time around. It sounds kind of fun. And then Drew's clip on the Nancy Drew Hardy Boys stuff sounds pretty good too, so I'm adding that. My total was getting up to around almost $560 on my initial pass. After editing and adding those couple of things, it of course crept over 560. But then once I factored in the discounts for the bundles and stuff, that dropped it about $25-$26 or something. So I'm sitting right around $533.45-ish. I've still got a couple of decisions I gotta make. And it's one of those things where the only thing I have this time over $5 is the Saban Power Ranger original graphic novel that's going to be set in the movie universe after the movie. So, you know, it's like, yeah, I'll get that. And then a handful of things over $3, you know, Dark Knight 3, Reborn's final issue, Miraculous, one of the Archie one-shots. Well, actually, two of them, the Archies and the Jughead, The Hunger. And they sound like fun and stuff. It's just, part of it is for those couple of things, like from the back half, as one of you guys mentioned in the clip, the smaller publishers, they can't swing as good of a deal for the retailers, which is why it's so important if you want stuff from the back half to let your retailer know and then actually go and pick it up when it comes out, because those are riskier items for retailers. I had a bunch of stuff that was $2.79 to $3 or whatever, which really means $2.99. But it's funny because they fell into two categories, DC and Marvel. And I had made this list on the DC side, or for the full list, before I factored in the discounts. And then after doing that, all of the DC items dropped to like $2.49, putting them below that threshold. But none of the Marvel items did. And of course, this is a reflection of what DCBS is discounting. DCBS tends to be fairly aggressive on having a number of different bundles from DC and stuff. Some of that may just be that I think Cameron's a bit more of a potentially DC fan than Marvel, and hey, can't fault him for that. But I think it's also hopefully a reflection of the way DC is better at supporting retailers than I think Marvel tends to be, and that's what I've heard from more than one retailer. And hey, it's working out for me, so it's good. But I think as people potentially start to cut back in 2017, and as Marvel is the more expensive of those two options, that's going to make potentially for a rough year for Marvel. We'll see if that happens or not. My order broke down the way it tends to be doing lately. About 40% went to Marvel, about 35 or so to DC, and the rest was split with, let's see, a percent or two going to Dark Horse, about 4% to IDW, about 3% to Image, and about 15% to the back half. Got about 219 items on my list, average price of $2.44. And that's where it gets hard when I decide if I need to cut back or something. I can only chip away at it. It's hard to make big, you know, well, if I just take this one item off, you know, there goes $50 or something. I tend not to have big ticket items. The next Comic Book Page teleconference will be this Saturday as the episode is released. That is Saturday, January 14th at 7 p.m. The agenda is what we make it. Last time we talked a lot about some science fiction books, had a really good conversation on that. It was a lot of fun. We can talk comics, we can talk movies, we can talk pretty much whatever. All you got to do is hop on Skype, let me know you want in on the call, and we can talk with, you know, whoever's there about whatever we want. It's just a matter of, you know, be respectful that not everybody may have read everything or seen everything. So let's not try to spoil stuff for people or whatever. And usually that's not a hard thing to work around. DCBS orders are due January 25th. That's also the same Wednesday that the next previews is getting released. That means the next preview spotlight deadline will be February 4th, that Saturday morning. And I say bright and early, but really it comes down to what time I get up that day. In other words, you don't have to have it by the stroke of 6 a.m. Central Time. But, you know, by 9 or 10 a.m., certainly. And if it's going to be, you know, noon or later, let me know so I can adjust accordingly. But the earlier you guys get it in, the better. Almost all of the clips came in prior to Friday night, which I really appreciate. We had some freezing weather, so my sister canceled on her because I didn't think she wanted to be out in the cold weather. And that meant I was able to start working on some editing and stuff that Friday night. So getting stuff in early is greatly appreciated. These episodes only work with you guys submitting stuff. I want to thank everybody who contributed. So Chris, Billy, Drew, Jason, Jerry, Michael, and Todd. Also want to thank Chris, the Brawlinator, and Jason from Hawaii for all they do on the thread, on the forum and stuff to keep the stuff going between posting links, encouraging people to send in clips and stuff. That's a huge help for me, guys. So thanks for doing that. Hopefully everybody found something they were interested in this time around. Again, previews is, geez, this time it was over 600 pages. It's just gargantuan. And as one of you guys, one of the clips mentioned, nicer cover. They've changed the trade dress just a little bit. They're sprucing the catalog up a little. I mean, not massively, but they're incrementally improving it and stuff, and I appreciate that. It's really a go-to resource for me. I think this comes out before the Yearly Comic Spotlight, but as I will have mentioned on the Yearly Comic Spotlight, which comes out the Friday after this gets released in 2 days. So, again, hopefully everybody found stuff they liked. Thank you all for sending in clips. Please continue to do that as you have time over the course of the year. And as you have interest, if something sparks your interest, please just spend a few minutes, like with your smartphone, record a quick clip, send it in. If everyone listening were over the course of the year to just send in a clip, just, hey, my name is so-and-so, this is a book I read, it's a good jumping on point, you should check it out. I mean, I know I've got a ton of listeners out there, and I'd really like to hear from more and more of them, just to get a sense of what you guys are reading, because that'll help steer what we review, maybe what we focus on when we talk about the numbers and stuff like that. So I'm really hoping that more people participate, because I know all the guys who are regular contributors seem to get a lot of fun out of it and enjoy it, and I certainly enjoy hearing what they have to say. It's a lot of fun for me to do these episodes. So with that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.